Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Next this morning, a major new report from the Intergovernmental Panel detailing what the world needs to do to mitigate climate change is due to be published later today. It's the third in a series of reports, and I'm joined now by Sive O'Neill, lecturer in climate policy and politics at DCU's School of Law and Government, to preview what it's likely to contain. Sive, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Claire.
So this is the third report, and the last two have looked at the causes and the impacts of climate change. Will you just explain to us what the focus of this one is going to be?
Yes, absolutely. This is the third working group report, and what's going to be announced this afternoon will be the summary for policymakers that was signed off by governments. So following the publication of the summary for policymakers, we will see the publication of the full report, which is a very, very long, detailed look at all the different ways in which governments need to take climate action. So, for example, there'll be an introductory chapter setting out the sort of structure, a look at emission trends, and then different mitigation pathways that are both long-term and also near-term and medium-term. So obviously we can look to, you know, 100 years hence in terms of mitigation pathways. That's absolutely essential because greenhouse gases are so long-lived in the atmosphere, but it's the steps we need to take in the near and mid-term that are really going to make a difference. So this report is then going to set out what we need to do in relation to energy, agriculture, cities, buildings, transport, industry, investment, and a whole range of issues. But obviously the key message is that we're going to have to go into emergency mode and shift rapidly from fossil fuels. And I think the key recommendation will be, judging by reports that we've seen in other media, that the report will recommend a rapid shift from fossil fuels by 2030, looking to get much closer to eliminating them entirely.
Now, this was due to be finalised, the report, on Friday. Then it continued into the weekend, and we're hearing it only reached conclusion late yesterday evening. It was supposed to be released this morning. It's been pushed now to 4 o'clock this afternoon. Mm. That clearly suggests there were sticking points, would you say, amongst the scientists that had to be worked out.
Well, the sticking points would have been between the government representatives signing off on the summary for policymakers. So they generally don't query or try to change the recommendations of the scientists. But when they summarise it, there's a lot of nuance in the language. For example, how strongly they want to recommend that shift from fossil fuels, whether they'll make specific reference to coal, whether they'll make specific reference to climate finance. These are the issues that are always, you know, pinch points in the international climate diplomacy. And it's worth remembering as well that because this report is about mitigation, it's about climate action, what we actually need to do to get emissions down, to end our reliance on fossil fuels. They're much more politically sensitive recommendations than the previous two reports.
And do you expect there'll be any surprises in there when we eventually see it this afternoon?
Well, I think the key thing is that on the one hand, the message needs to come through very loud and clear. You know, and this report would have been worked on well before Russia invaded Ukraine and this recent kind of energy emergency that we're experiencing. But the message from the climate scientific community, and that covers both economists, the climate scientists, the social scientists and experts in governance and policy, that they're going to be recommending this rapid shift from fossil fuels. And that means literally going into emergency mode. So even if what's happening in the Ukraine wasn't happening, we would need to be doing this anyway in order to have some chance of staying below 1.5 degrees and to preserve what is left of the carbon budget so that developing countries can access their fair share of the global carbon budget to allow them to develop. Because if we in developed countries use up that fair share in order, because we're too lazy and complacent to eliminate fossil fuels, essentially, or because we see it as too politically inconvenient, what we're doing is we're jeopardizing the development prospects of millions of people around the world.
You see, I mean, you mentioned the war in Ukraine. Mm. The fallout from COVID is there as well. I'm sure amongst your community, there's a worry that investment to tackle climate change has been pushed further down the agenda because of these things.
I think it's incumbent on all public representatives to pay attention to this report and to read its findings. It will be a very comprehensive and detailed report, and it maps out the pathways that are absolutely critical for us to follow if we are to have any chance of, I suppose, preserving what we have experienced as prosperous civilization on this planet. We are in a climate and biodiversity emergency, and for politicians to be making short-term, you know, political gain out of the emergency by seeking to lower taxes and focus on, you know, the failings of other parties or whatever, I think is really negligent. I think it's appalling behaviour, because the situation we're in is absolutely critical. We have no choice but to eliminate fossil fuels. And that is going to require some hard political choices. And politicians need to investigate these. They need to read this patient critical analysis that's been developed by the world's best scientists and pay heed to this message. There are a range of recommendations. It's complex. It's going to take time and deliberation to ensure that we can provide all the services that we expect. Transport, energy, we need to look after our cities, and we need to decarbonize every sector of the economy. But I see a kind of a sense that this is just too hard, and it's easier to go after the short-term headlines. And that's very, very uncomfortable.
Okay, so when you talk about the short-term political gain and you say it's negligent, appalling behaviour from some politicians, you're talking there about calls not to increase the carbon tax.
It's not just that. It's the kind of failure that I see across the board for politicians to be making the case for the transformations that are needed. We have the potential to decarbonize our transport systems, but I don't see politicians clamoring for better public transport. I don't see them campaigning for more railway services. I don't see them campaigning to get cars out of our cities and to ensure that children can walk and cycle safely to school in urban areas. I don't see people fighting for better rural transport. So you see all the political attention focused on, you know, issues to do with fuel prices, which is relevant. Of course it's relevant. These impact directly on our pockets. But the solutions have to be compatible with climate action. And the solutions are laid out there. It's in the previous reports from the IPCC. This is the sixth assessment report. So this is the sixth round of these reports. But I don't see enough political representatives reading them and paying attention to their recommendations. And we're only making the situation worse. So I suppose the point I'm making is that delay is equivalent at this point to denial. And if we don't see politicians taking these recommendations seriously, no cuts in fuel taxes are going to protect us from climate catastrophe.
Yeah, you see, and we've spoken to politicians. Michael Ring this morning in the first hour of the programme, saying people can't pay their energy bills, they're struggling to put food on the table, they may need to drive in his constituency from Castlebar to Belmullet for work and put fuel in the car for that. It's very difficult, isn't it, politically, to impose a carbon tax increase on somebody like that.
I think the point I'm trying to make is that the solution isn't to try to match business as usual. We're going to have to provide those very people with solutions. The solutions have to be better rural transport, integrated mobility services so that people can link up with each other for carpooling and shared public transport services. And if those services don't exist, I think that politicians like Michael Ring should be making sure that they come about. That's what needs to be done by local representatives, to actually campaign for these services. So the focus is all very much on national policy, like so-and-so needs to wave a magic wand and make this problem disappear. And it will not happen. Energy prices are going up and they're going to stay high. There is no quick fix for this. So you can eliminate carbon tax. You can drop the carbon tax increase. You can drop VAT and excise. But it will not insulate us from either the climate crisis or from the energy price hikes that are likely to happen as a result of global commodity shock.
Okay. Sive, thank you very much for joining us. Sive O'Neill is a lecturer in climate policy and politics at DCU School of Law and Government. And that report is due out later today. We're expecting around 4 p.m. So there'll be more on RTE throughout the afternoon. Roisin Murphy, architect and interior designer, will be joining me to talk all things home improvement. That's after the break.
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.